So you guys, I am so excited to announce this, but I have a retreat coming up. I'm going to be partnering with an amazing yogi. Her name is Samantha Norcio, and we are Namaste Together Fresno. And we are going to be doing a retreat in Kernville, California. It is June 26th through the 28th. You arrive on Friday where there's going to be an amazing bonfire, yoga under the stars, cooking lessons with Sam, and an art craft with me. We're even going to spend a day on the lake. And the cabin is in this amazing rural area where we're surrounded by mountains, and we are going to be practicing yoga every single day, just surrounded by mountains and just drinking up all of the amazingness that nature has to offer. This retreat is super duper special, and I hope that you can take a moment and just check it out. It is at namastetogetherfresno.com for more information, and we would just love for you to be a part of it. Thanks so much, guys. Bye. Hey, Fat Yogi friends, Tiffany here. I had this amazing idea for this podcast, and I'm so excited to be sharing all these interviews with you. But one way that you can really help me out is by going and leaving a review under your podcast, the way that you're listening. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or however you're listening to this podcast, please, that helps me out so much. It helps the people find this podcast who are searching for Fat Yogi podcasts. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. And I can't wait for you to listen to this week's episode. Our guest today is known as Chubby Chin-Ups on Instagram. She's a second-year medical student who has aspirations of working as an ER doctor. She has done many forms of exercise, from dancing to weightlifting. She found yoga with Adrienne on YouTube and fell in love. She even stole her mother's yoga mat so she could continue her practice. She has struggled with body issues from a young age and is still working on loving her body exactly how it is. Her story parallels how so many fat yogis see themselves. Welcome to the show, Amanda Neves. Hello? Hi, is this Amanda?
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi, Amanda. This is Tiffany with the Fat Yogi Show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this.
Oh, good. Yes, I was just kind of rereading through the emails we had exchanged and just kind of re-going over everything. And I just find your story so interesting. It's so much different from some of the other fat yogis who kind of responded to this casting call, in that you are very, very active and have always been, yet you feel like you still are a fat yogi. So that's really cool, you know, that you kind of still fall under that category.
Yeah, I think it's just, I've been kind of like thinking back on it. I feel like there's just been such a yo-yo in my life, because when I danced for so long, it was back in New York. I'm in North Carolina now. So it was like when I first moved down here, it was like there was nothing. Like where I was, there was like nothing. It was very still woodsy, hadn't been developed. And so it was like when I came down, I was just like, well, I guess I'm just going to sit in my house. And then I just, I think there was a period in my life where I really wasn't active. I only started getting active again in like college, like the last 2 years of college. And ever since then, I was just kind of been playing around with exercise. And I think the thing that I'm really trying to work on for 2020, and what better time now that we're quarantined, is my relationship with food. So I think that's one of the major things.
So growing up, do you feel like, you said that you didn't really feel like you were fat? You were like a smaller version of fat?
Growing up, I never really thought of myself as fat until, like I had mentioned in the email, until I would say like maybe around the third to fifth grade kind of area, just like the elementary school, where I kind of like looked down and I like had cinched my belt. And then I think it was that moment where I was just like, I'm bigger than everyone else. And And it was just like, if I'm bigger than everyone else in my mind, it's like, oh, that means I'm fat, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was always like a girl who had fat on me. And so it was like, I see, you know, a lot of women, a lot of men who are bigger than everyone else, but, you know, they may be more muscular, have less fat. And so because I have more fat, maybe hiding the muscle, I identify as a fat person, fat yogi.
Did you get bullied from being fat, growing up?
You know, I would say I only bullied myself maybe mentally. I would say there was this like one time that kind of like hammered home like the embarrassment. Was where I was like, I think I was wearing shorts or something, and this was in middle school. I had already moved down south, and I remember someone saying, "Oh, do you have stretch marks because you're fat?" And I was like, "Oh!"
Oh my gosh.
"Oh my God!" I was like, "Well, yeah, I guess so. You know, I'm growing,"
Wow.
kind of thing. And so I was like, that just blindsided me. I was just like,
Yeah.
whoa. And I don't, and the thing is that she did, I wasn't as like upset per se, because she didn't say it in a mean way. I remembered that distinctly. She was just curious,
Yeah.
kind of thing. And so it was like, I was a little bit more okay with it. But at the time I was still like, whoo, if she had said it in a malicious way, I think it would have hurt a lot more. But it was like,
Sure.
again, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm different than other people, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's probably like made you start thinking about it more. Like, I wasn't self-conscious about this. And now you point it out. Is this something I need to be self-conscious about? You know? And it only
Exactly.
takes one time for somebody to like have that realization. Yeah. So, did you have a lot of friends who were bigger? As you were growing up?
Now I'm like scanning all of my friends right now. I really wouldn't say, like in middle school and high school, I would say they were all like thinner than I was. They were
Yeah.
definitely smaller. I was I, like, and now I look back and I'm like, I'm definitely bigger than I was then. I was like, I wish I was as fat as
I
like I
know.
thought then than I am now. But when I got to college, it was different. There was a lot more diversity, and I think that helped for like a lot, because it was like I was seeing bigger women looking at, when I tell you, absolutely fabulous. Like there were modeling troupes in my college at the illustrious Winston-Salem State University, and I see these bigger women absolutely killing it. I'm like, you go, girl. And I felt a lot better about myself, and that's when, at that moment, when I realized, you know, just seeing people who are representative of you is very encouraging. And then kind of fell out of that really encouraging bubble. And I think it's gotten just like, I guess, the mental health around it. I'm still struggling with it and trying to get on a track where it's like, I'm okay with being big. But as you see in my Instagram post, I'm still going through that journey. I'm like in the thick of it right now.
Yeah, I think that's super relatable. Every single person has that surrounding them where it's like fat equals ugly, fat equals, you know, unhealthy, fat equals whatever negative connotation they want to put to it. And so, you know, getting over those negative thoughts and putting it like fat equals I have fat, not
Exactly.
anything
Yeah.
else. Like, I have fat and I have this body and it's amazing, you know, and it's really hard for people to come to that conclusion because they are met with so much negativity. So, and it takes time. It takes time for everybody to find a place of like, you know, centeredness with being okay with it, you know. So, yeah, and it's a journey. And I love that you're being so open about that because so many people, I'm hoping, who will begin listening to this will maybe not think of themselves as fat and fabulous and maybe listen to this and go, oh, well, you know, she might think this way about herself, but she's on her journey and maybe I should take it too. And I hope that it kind of inspires people to feel more confident about whatever fat they have on their body. And it's not something to be shameful about.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just like, I always say that, you know, I'm still gonna eat what I'm gonna eat. So do I want to feel guilty about it, or do I want to enjoy it? I'm like, you know what? I need to get these negative thoughts out of my head. And so I'm also going to therapy, and my therapist, she's been really great about saying that these are thoughts you have. These are not you. And so it's been really helpful to kind of just try to think about that and place that negativity on, these are just thoughts that I've been fed and I've been developing. And it's really hard, like you said, you know, because it's like you become comfortable in that negativity. And when you want to branch out and be like, no, I'm going to be positive, it's scary almost. It's like, this is foreign to me. This is scary. I don't want to do this. I'm familiar with my negativity. I want to stay with it, you know?
Yes, totally. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that you are going through therapy because that's so important to like be on that path of self-discovery and kind of coming to conclusions maybe about your thoughts and them not being all like all consuming, you know, and being open to thinking about them in a more positive way. So that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We need to normalize. I absolutely am a huge proponent of mental health. Like, I it just, you know, I'm gonna be in the healthcare field, and I just don't think people should be like holding anything in anymore. Of course, if you're not comfortable with it, I think I encourage people to examine, why am I not comfortable with it? Are there steps that I need to take? It's just like, I want people to be like an open book, because I just think, if you know, if people were like that, it would just, to the world, I think, would be a little more kind. It's like we're all in this struggle together, you know, whether it's like because we're coming to terms with our body image, or coming to terms with, I don't know, I can't run fast or something, God knows I can. It's just, you know, in general, I think people just need to be, I guess, I'm a little bit more self-reflective and be okay with where they are at the moment, which is why I love yoga.
Me too. Yes, absolutely. So, right now, are you in a college for a healthcare field, or what's the story on that one? You said you went to college, so you finished, and where are you at with that?
I am at the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University.
Ooh,
Yeah, and
yes.
so I'm a second year, and we just had our board exams canceled. And so we're like in limbo right
Oh.
now. Yeah, I know. And they were projecting it, like our, you know, rotations to start around June 29th. And so we still haven't rescheduled our board exams. So everyone in our group chat is just like, well, what's going on? And we're just like, we don't know. So it's still nice to actually like have some time to relax just a little bit, because it's like, before I was actually supposed to, originally, before I moved it back to April 1st, I was actually supposed to take my exam yesterday. And so just right now, actually taking time for mental health and just taking some time to do yoga, focus on flexibility, and actually, you know, just becoming in tune a little bit more with myself is nice, because for the past, I don't know, what was it, 6 weeks, 5 weeks, I was like every single day waking up at like maybe 5:30, 6 a.m. doing a workout or a little bit yoga, just something different. I've been working with a personal trainer as well, because I'm like, you know what, this is a great time to have a schedule. And I was like, from, I would say, around maybe 9:30 to 10 till 7:30 every day, I was studying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And
So,
so, oh, and just let me interrupt you for a second.
of
The
course.
Brody School of Medicine, are you trying if are you trying to become a doctor or a
Yes, ma'am.
therapist or a doctor? Okay, cool. Okay. any sp so around mental health, is it going to be like psychiatry or what is your gonna what's your focus with that?
Actually, I was hoping to get into emergency medicine.
Oh, okay.
Emergency medicine, or in like just ICU. I had the fortune of shadowing at a hospital, and it was we were able to kind of like go through different places. I was able to see a baby being born, so I
Oh
was
my
just like,
gosh.
okay, that's just incredible. I was like, I cannot
Yes.
believe that female bodies are just like, yeah, let me pop
That's
out this
amazing.
creature. And it's just like, it was incredible. But when I had time to do family, like, almost like it was like internal family medicine, but it was like in the hospital, I really appreciated. I like I have like I have a short term like memory, not memory, I have like a short attention span. That's what it is. But so I like different cases every single day. I don't like focusing on something too long. So that's why I was thinking emergency medicine, and then maybe being a hospitalist, and seeing different cases where I might be there for a little bit, helping them out, making sure they're stable enough to be discharged. And I really like that kind of like fast-paced energy. So I'm really excited. Hopefully my board scores are good enough for that. But I'm really hoping that they're good enough that I could go into that specialty. And hopefully, when I actually rotate through, I still love it.
That's awesome. I love that. And then for you to be an advocate for like mental health, that would really help
Oh,
all of
yeah.
your clients that you'd be helping in the emergency room for sure. How about with your parents? Like just going back to growing up and everything, is your family overweight?
I don't know if they're gonna like, I don't think they're tech savvy enough to actually know how to like allocate a podcast. So I think I'm safe, but my dad is. My dad always jokes that my mom fattened him up because when I tell you my mom throws down in the kitchen, she throws down in the
Oh,
kitchen.
nice.
Oh, it's delicious. Maybe that's why it's hard for me to lose weight because it's like she in like instilled in me like, oh my gosh, I have all these flavors and she
Yes.
and it's just delicious. And so my mom, I wouldn't say she's like obese. I would say she's like overweight, not like horribly,
Sure.
so I've been kind of reflecting back on it because when I work with my therapist, we're kind of focusing on body image, and I've been trying to reflect in the past that, it's like we had like a lot of rice and our foods were, I guess, not the healthiest. So it's like we were all, there was back in New York, there was Chinese food. Literally, we could walk 5 minutes and it's there. And so we were always just a little bit bigger, not like, horribly obese, but yeah, I guess we were all just a little bit bigger. But my parents are also Hispanic. I'm adopted, and so if there's still that stigma, like, oh, the affectionate, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes like you can see it, but like the quote unquote gorda, being like fat or whatever. Oh, you're looking fat. I remember distinctly one time where my grandmother, I had to stay with my grandmother for a little bit. I think my parents had to do something. And she was like, oh, what do you eat for breakfast? I was like, sometimes Pop-Tarts, sometimes cereal. And I think she meant it like I was eating all of that for breakfast. She's like, oh, no wonder you're so fat. And I was like, yo, like, what on earth? So yeah, that was always kind of hard because I'm just like, I'm just, like, is there something wrong with me? And that was when I was younger too, again, back in New York. So that was, that was kind of rough because I was just like, can you let me live?
I mean, I feel like grandmothers, maybe it's just that time. You're probably around the same age as me, 20s, 30s. And they just, in that time frame, they have this mentality of like they don't want their grandchildren to be a certain size or something like that. And so the way that they share their love is with food. And then they turn around and then point out if you have any fat on you. My grandmother did the same thing. So
I never
it's like you're sharing your love for food. I remember like going to my grandmother's house and just saying, "Hey," and then her all of a sudden like starting to make a meal out of nowhere, and I was about to leave and she's like, "Don't leave. You need to come here and eat." And then turns around and says like, "You really got to watch your weight." And it's like, "Dude, are you serious right now?" I went through those same struggles with my grandparents.
I see, that's such a shame because it's like, again, it's like neither one of us should be like, that why is that the one thing that's going to keep you from everything good in life? Like, look at us, we're both, successful, we're both following our passions, and it's just such a shame that people are like, oh, but she's fat. Like, that's the ultimate, like, it's going to infiltrate my brain and then cause me to become a vegetable. Like, I don't understand that.
Well, and it's like this fear-based, trying to get people to do things differently out of fear versus out of encouragement. So instead of just saying like, "Hey, it's a great day outside. Have you looked at the clouds?" and just saying like, "Go outside and play," or something like that. Those are the types of things that we should be like putting on to our kids, grandkids, or so on and so forth. Because, say just pointing it out isn't going to do anything. It's just going to make you want to eat more. And
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
it just goes down these crazy little, trauma events that's happened.
in all of us. Did you have any other things growing up as far as like something that happened that is causing you to like think, oh, I need to eat more food, or like a trauma, something triggered for you?
That's actually a very good question. One that I think I probably should think on a little bit more, but I think the one thing that I could offer you right now is that I think for the longest time, it's like I had these like habits. Like I remember when I would go home, I would sit down and have like a snack because that was like my way of decompressing. I think for so long that happened. That food became that comfort for me. Like whenever I'm sad or bored or whatever, I would fill my time with food. And of course, those are, excess calories. Not saying that, there's anything particularly wrong, but when you go overboard, it starts becoming a problem because it's then it's like, what are you running away from? Then it's just kind of like, that's where I'm at right now. It's like, what am I using food to substitute for? And it's just like food is so good. Like I have a tub of cookie dough in my fridge right now. And I really have fallen in love with just an intuitive eating because I didn't do that in the past. I would just eat until I was full, until I was stuffed. And I was just like, I feel worse about myself. What am I going to do to comfort myself? Food. And so I think that just became something that, like, of course, with all the stuff that's happened in childhood, I don't think I've had like a like an abusive childhood. These little things here and there instills in your head, like you said, before that, it's like something, it's like triggering. It's like, is there something wrong with me? And then it just becomes this habit of thinking that's so hard because just even though the brain is plastic, it's just very hard to change those little electrical currents, if you will. It's like re gutting the whole house and having to figure out where all those like little wires are and then implanting a different path. Like that's a lot of work.
It is.
And so it's just like, that's kind of like what I've been dealing with. I think everything, it started from a small snowball and then it just became a giant avalanche.
Wow, yeah, I can totally relate because yeah, we reward ourselves with food. So a lot of times, yeah, you'll come home, you look forward to that snack. You look forward to that time of decompressing and you don't know anything different. So yeah, I totally can relate to that that thought in my head too. So when did you start your yoga journey through all of this?
This was in 2016. I'm just needing to make sure I get my dates right because I did take a little bit of time off from college before I went to medical school. Thank God. Because I realize I'm the type of person who needs to decompress a little bit. But like I had mentioned to you in my email, I had been working out for the past 2 years in med school, not med school, college. And I was like lifting weights. I was having so much fun with it. And I was just like, you know what? I want to try something different. I've been doing this. I was like working out 6 times a week, 2 hours a day, or an hour and a half when I had the time because I had a loads of time in college. But I was like, you know what? I want to try something different. And again, here and there, I was just like, oh, yoga, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, well, I have a yoga mat. I stole my mother's. And I found yoga with Adrienne after a trial and error with some other YouTubers. Not like they were bad per se, but I think yoga, like Adrienne, is very good at like saying, like, oh, find what feels good. And really, I think she was a great person to start with because she was just like, who cares if you can't do it? You're. It that's where you are today, that's fine. And it really helped me be okay, like, oh, I can't even hold being on all fours, like my shoulders hurt. I know I have weaker shoulders, but I was okay. I was like, oh, I like this burn. Of course, some days are better than others. Again, my Instagram posts show that. But I think it was great because I would do yoga, maybe 2 videos or something like that. One day or 1 video a day because maybe I just had a harder day, just a variety. And then I would do maybe running or high intensity workouts or something like that. But I found that yoga was just like a playground for me. And I really like that because it's just like with just school in general, I'm like super, super. When I tell you type A, I should be like type triple A. It's good that yoga is there because it really helps me like center myself. I mean, you know how it goes. It's just such a wonderful place where you could just play around. Like, oh, I can't hold this forward fold today. Let me try a block or something. I don't have a block. I have my foam roller, but she works just great. But it's just, I just kept doing it. And I've always been trying to find ways just to make time, maybe even if it's 3 times a week, to practice in the morning or something like that. Because it's like not only about the flexibility that I enjoy, about keeping myself, you know, limber when I'm doing these other workouts, but it's just about taking that time, that hour, half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever, to be like, oh, I enjoy being in this body.
It's fine. I love that. So you've always kind of practiced in your home, and have you ever gone to a studio or anything?
Not like an official studio, like once in a while. It's really nice that, well, not now since everything's shut down, but before, my school would have, I think it's on Sundays, they would have like group fitness, and oh my gosh, when I tell you that studio filled up. And it was really nice because it's like when I was able to go to when like just my schedule, how it lined up, when I was able to go, it was really a nice confidence booster because I was like, oh, I can do these poses, I have the flexibility. It was really nice because naturally I'm a very competitive person again, so that's why I try to use yoga to be like, chill, it's fine. But it was nice seeing people from all walks of life, maybe some people having a little bit more difficulty hitting the poses, and I'm just like, you know what, I didn't feel like, oh, I'm better than them. I was just like, I'm so glad they're here. And that's why I'm glad that yoga can transform my mind, because before I would have been like, ah, I'm more flexible, but now it's just like, you know what, I need to chill. Everybody's starting off different.
So when you went to those bigger classes with more people, did anybody look at you like you shouldn't be here, or did you feel any negative experiences from going to those, or were they all positive?
Oh, they were definitely all positive. And it was really nice because my first yoga class, I remember this was over the summer, like last summer. I was the only person there at first. That I forgot there was another person that came, but we're just two people. But the yogi was actually a larger fat yogi, and I was just like, oh, I feel so validated. I'm just like, yay. And man, she was just killing it. I was like, I'm gonna be like you one day. I love it. she was sassy on top of it. I was like, I want to be your friend.
That's so great. Just representation is so important. I'm so glad that you had that experience. So you loved that she was sassy. Is that something that like kind of draws you in when you're practicing, if you were taking classes from different instructors?
You know what? Now that you say that, yeah. I'm taking the 30 Days of Space challenge that another yogi in my class, actually, she went to, oh, what was it? Bali, I think it was, to become a yoga instructor. And she is incredible. She's like the most positive person on the planet. And I just love her to pieces. And she invited me to do this. And I think it was yesterday. It was, the practice was about letting fear like control you, and to kind of like deconstruct that a little bit. Like just try things that are different, even if they scare you, kind of thing. And she was just cursing all over the place. And I was just like, oh, I relate to this lady. Because I'm honestly surprised. I don't know if I've cursed yet, but I'm actually surprised I haven't been. But I was just like, she was just like, you know what? Well, like, I don't want you beating yourself up. You should not be like feeling like this at all, you know? People are always beating you up, you know? And she was just like cursing here, cursing there. I'm like, I love this lady because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like people who curse and are just a little bit more open, I just relate to that a little bit more, because I'm just like, and that's why I made my Instagram as well. Because, and I told my therapist this yesterday as well, that I wanted to show that it's okay not to be okay all the time, that you're going to have really bad days. I feel like people are so obsessed with being positive all the time, which is good. It's fine. But if you have those days, just, you know, sit in that feeling. I tend to run away from it, but just sit in that feeling. Where is it coming from? And I feel like being in tune with you, like in tune with yourself, will really help in yoga. You know, I mean, that's the yoga way, I guess.
Right.
You know, being in tune with yourself in all walks of life.
Yeah, like being present in the moment, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that type of instructor, what's the types of classes that you've taken then?
As in, like, online?
Well, I mean, maybe vinyasa or hatha, yin classes. What are your favorite?
See, I'm not as familiar with, like, the different names. I do know hatha, and I do enjoy those on days where I'm feeling a little bit more sore, that I could just take time. And I'm thinking, if I'm thinking about this correctly, hatha is more the stretching and slow yoga, right?
So yeah, you usually will hold the poses for like 3 to 4 breaths. So
oh, yeah.
Not as much breath to movement, but you're still hitting the poses. So that, yeah, that is a little bit of a difference between that and vinyasa. Vinyasa, you might hit it for a moment, but then you might like have a flow. So you like go breath to movement, like breathe in, move, breathe out, move, breathe in, move. So you're like kind of flowing through each of the sequences. And then like yin would be literally restorative. So a lot of props, maybe you just lie there and just let your hips open naturally. So you're not pressing anything. You're just letting your body kind of do the work with gravity. So That's one of my favorite classes is yin, because you literally just hold the pose for like 6 minutes and you're just like stretching your body out. So that's a really fun one. If you haven't tried yin, like this is like maybe your 7th day where you're just wanting some stretching. Yin is a perfect class for that. And I'm sure.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, I'm sure that the yoga with Adrienne might even have some options for sure, because she's been doing that for years. She has so many videos. Do you have like a favorite yoga pose that you're just like, oh, I need to do this like on the regular, or maybe a pose that you're working on right now?
I really love a warrior two.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what it is. Crescent lunge, I could definitely tell, like, my left thigh is in my hip. I've known this for a while. It's weaker. Mm. So doing it on the left is kind of hard going into crescent lunge. But, man, as soon as I hit that warrior two, I'm like, I'm here. But I love, like, flipping my hands up instead of having them face down, because I don't know. There's something about just being just open like that and then hitting that reverse warrior well. I love that so much. It's almost like a dance sequence. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful. And triangle pose as well.
You're like, let me go through all of them, because every single one is beautiful.
But those three in combination, I just feel like it's just almost, it's like, even though they're like separate, but I feel like they just flow so well together. They're almost one to me. I really love that sequence right there.
Okay. Yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned those specific poses, because I don't know if you follow I have a business partner and a separate Instagram account called Namaste Together, and we do retreats, and we're hoping to eventually when this thing blows over. And one of the sequences we posted maybe 4 days ago was that exact sequence. It was crescent to warrior two, reverse warrior, and then triangle. So
it's just beautiful.
we enjoyed so like much. Filming that. We thought it was such a fun sequence. And yeah, that was very recent. So yeah, I totally agree. Those four poses are like the best, and they feel so good when you do them, and you feel really super duper strong and and then beautiful too. You know, there's like you said, the dance with the movement, you just feel really good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't. It's like I was choosing one in my head, and I was like, wait, it connects with this one. I remember, I was just like, I forgot you said one pose, and I was like, but this one.
For sure. So, how about anything? What's your most positive experience related to being a fat yogi?
That's also a very good question. I would say, again, I don't really practice a lot with other people, because I realize that like exercise and just yoga in general have been a way for me to decompress. Mm-hmm. When I exercise with other people, I'm just like, I just realize I'm like, this is something I like doing in my own, and this is something that I occasionally like doing with other people. But like when I'm home and I'm just with the virtual instructor, I think the most positive thing is when they say, okay, this is gonna sound bad, but you know what, and all yogis out there are gonna know what I mean, touch yourself. It's like whenever I'm in, like, let's say triangle pose, and I want to just do something different, or just a forward fold, I love when I rise up and come back down when I touch my calves. And just having that moment just to touch my belly or something like that, and be like, you know, this is part of my body. Even if every other time I have a difficult, like, time looking at myself in the mirror, because that happens a lot. But at least in yoga, it's like when I touch my belly to open up my chest, and I'm doing it right now. I can't, I'm very expressive with my emotions, but it's just when I just open up and just feel my body. I think that's the most positive experience I can have as a fat yogi. It's just taking that time to be like, feel how strong you are, feel that shake, feel how you're in this pose and in this moment. And it's just a really nice celebration that I'm hoping could just leach into the rest of my life. It's slowly but surely doing that. I just really love those moments. Those are so precious to me.
Yeah, it's a practice, you know? So, yeah, if you can translate it into your everyday, I mean that's killing it, I feel like. If you're able to, then you've like won everything. And so, yeah, it's at the any type of journey to that is just that, just a journey. So, that's amazing that you can kind of like put that out there into the world. What is your favorite thing about being a fat yogi?
That's also a very good question. You're just cranking them out. These are really good. Oh, wow. You know, the first thing that comes to my head is possibly being somebody's representation. Like my Instagram is, you know, it was originally supposed to be just for me. And if somebody wanted to follow it, that was fine. Like this was supposed to be my journey. But then I soon realized if I could help one person, if someone could just be like, you know, this really helped me just start my journey, I would be thrilled, thrilled. Because I just, it's like journaling is fine, but I feel like, I don't know. I've been thinking about this a lot, that I used to journal a lot, but now I just want to quote unquote talk to somebody. And that's what I think, you know, I'm dealing with these struggles. And I guess that's my favorite thing as a fat yogi, that I could, you know, show somebody like, you don't have to be, like I've said this before, but you don't have to be perfect. You can't hit this pose because of some restriction. Who cares? It's about the feeling and just focusing on like the little things. I think we often get lost, you know, even me, you know, again, when I was studying, and a lot of my friends, if they listen to it, will know I was like, I look like a crazy person. And I'm just like, oh, but these scores and this and blah, 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 blah. I remember when the day after I found out that I didn't have my test anymore, I sat down at the lake that was next to our school with a whole bunch of geese and ducks. And I literally sat next to some sleeping ducks. They looked at me and they were like, okay, you're cool. Sat down like little puff balls and just slept. And it was just so nice to focus on those little things. So if I could like just hand that to somebody, even if they just start a little bit at a time, you know, that I think would be the best thing on earth.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. What's your relationship with your body right now?
We have our good and bad days, and usually it's a more ambivalent than anything. I don't really, I don't really know how to put it. It's something I guess I avoid. I don't want to really. It is very just a complicated relationship. I think there are some days. And again, that's why I do yoga so much, because it's like that's the moment where I could feel positive. But I think at the moment, I'm in that transition where I'm just like, I'm letting go of the need to be thin. I'm letting that go. And I've equated thinness to beauty for so long. And so I almost feel like I'm letting go of me being beautiful. But I think that I just need to stop caring about what how people view me, because yes, I could be objective all day long. Yes, people, this is how society views fatness, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just like, why does that have to define me? But I'm kind of going back and forth between that. I have some good days, I have some bad days. So I guess I'm just ambivalent on the fence about my relationship with my body.
Yeah. No, I feel like if, I mean, I know men struggle with this as well. So when I was about to say women, but I feel like a lot of people can relate to that thinking in their mind, that self-talk of, I need to be thinner, I need to lose weight, I need to make a decision that equals me getting thinner. And if I'm not, thinking that way, that means I'm thinking negatively, which is I'm fat. And meaning fat in a bad way, like I don't look good, I don't like this, you know, I'm making the wrong choices, and just having all this really negative self-talk. And I think that's something that everyone goes through, even if you are in a thinner body. How much of an appearance are you trying to keep up, and self-talk are you doing versus maybe being in a larger body and being happy with it, you know? And it's a journey. I go through my days too, where I feel like I'm amazing. It doesn't matter if I'm fat. I'm being an inspiration to people, and they can totally relate to me. And then there are days where I'm just like, I need to lose 10 pounds. How do I weigh this much right now? Why am I allowing myself to eat the crap I just ate last night? Because now I weigh this much, and why did I even step on the scale? You know, and things like that go through my mind as well. So it's definitely a journey. And I would love to say, like, you know, those thoughts don't enter my head, but I completely relate to exactly what you were just saying. Sometimes I feel this way and sometimes I feel a different way. So, but I feel like the more you talk about it, you take power away from those negative thoughts, you know, and you can bring more power to the ones that are positive. And I think that's really where I'd love for this podcast to go, in that direction. Like, even if you are fat and you think, I'm fat, I can't do yoga, like, those are the people I hope might listen to this and see your story and hear my story and say, oh, these girls, they're both fat, they both do yoga, and they feel better about themselves when they do yoga. You know, it makes their life better, you know, and it doesn't matter what size you are. So, because honestly, yoga is just breathing. And if you can just breathe, then you're doing yoga.
Exactly. If you can sit down, maybe move from side to side a little bit. And so when I made my Instagram and I saw you, I was thrilled. I was like, holy moly, look at her go. I was just like, oh, just seeing that. I just think the way you move is incredible. And I always thought that. I was just like, I love when I do yoga, and whenever I, at least now that I started this Instagram, I'm following you and following other fat yogis. Every time I kind of get down on myself, I'm just like, yeah, but look at them. Look at what they're doing. You know, doing dolphin pose. I did dolphin pose yesterday and I was so frustrated. I was like, you know what? I've seen all these yogis do it before. You know what? I'm gonna do it. It was very difficult. I have very tight shoulders, but it was so it was so nice to be like, you know what? I'm just gonna try it. I'm not gonna let fear control me. And so I was like, I wanted to actually personally thank you for being such an inspiration to me and just like keeping me going.
Oh, I love that. You're welcome. You're gonna make me start crying, because like that's one of the reasons why I like became a yoga teacher, is because like I never saw anybody who looked like me teaching yoga. And you know, you don't have to have a perfect practice to teach yoga, you know, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you don't have to be able to do crow, you don't have to be able to do dolphin, but you know what, you can try and you can work on it.
Yeah.
And it's gonna look different. That's the thing, and I don't think people see that enough. People doing the exercise in a different shaped body. There's just not enough people out there. So I'm so excited to like have this podcast as hopefully another way for people to hear about fat yogis doing what they love and feeling good about themselves when they do it, even though they do have those thoughts in their mind of negative self-talk and things like that at different times. So
How about, what do you love about your body right now?
That's also a very good question. Well, I think, I think the one thing that I'm fixated on right now, because it changes, it is going to sound kind of weird, but I've been noticing when I do my recordings to show, like, oh, this is what the practice looked like today, I think it's just beautiful how my feet grip the ground and how my ankles kind of just, I just noticed that just apparatus.
Yeah. There.
Just that joint, how it compensates when I'm like in Warrior 3 or something like that, or in tree pose. I was just fascinated because then I have also a very good friend who made me aware of my feet, and he's like, your feet are like the root. You need to make sure they're taken care of. And I was just like, oh, you're right. And I was just like, I just noticed like my feet a lot more. I'm just like, I have very powerful feet. I know that's not something you hear a lot, but it's just kind of like, again, noticing the little things, because I get being in, you know, med school and seeing all the muscles we have, like, I hope I'm not wrong because I'm very weak in anatomy. It was like a very long time ago, but we have like 3 to 4 layers of muscle in our feet. Like, that is fascinating. And they just seeing the way it just compensates for everything. I just think it's fascinating right now. So I just want to celebrate my feet and ankles right now.
You need to put that.
Well, what about for you though?
For me, what do I love about my body? I will just say I have had a very bad relationship with how I look at my hips. So I'm learning to love how my hips look. So right now I emphasize them, you know, and I see them and I see them moving around, and I want people to have alignment in them, and it's important. So I am turning that, negative self-talk about my hips, how they stick out a certain way, into something positive, because it's important to like look at something negative and turn it into something positive. So that's what I'm feeling about my own body. That's a great question.
Oh, but that's great though. I think we need to celebrate that. Yeah. I'm really proud of you that it's just, again, like, even people who are meant to, like, are an inspiration like you, that they, again, just have these moments where they're just like vulnerable, and I think that's really important to hear. And so I'm like, I want to celebrate that really quick. Like, I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you. Oh, you're so sweet, Amanda.
I just want things to be positive. Sure. Like, again, it's just like there's so much negativity. I'm always negative to myself. Like, even my therapist is just like, you're very harsh on yourself. I'm just like, I always feel like I have to go. Right. Because if I take a step back, like, I trained for just like an exercise thing, let's say. I don't even know what to call it. It was just, it was a sort of like a, I guess like a military PT test, like, can you do it? And I was like, I have to, I was like training 3 times a day, and in a very safe way. I was still eating, you know, but I was doing light training 3 times a day because I just had the time. Like, in the morning, I would go for a swim, nothing strenuous. And middle of the day, maybe a little bit of biking. Again, you know, I was eating, but I realized like I was losing weight because I was using my FitnessPal, tracking my calories. I even had a food scale. And I was just so like micromanaging everything. And then I passed that, you know, physical exam, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I could be military, you know, kind of thing. and then I gained the weight. And that's when everything kind of crashed down around me. I felt so bad for my boyfriend because I was just like, he's a champ when it comes to my mental health, honestly. But it was a very dark time. And I was very like upset because I was gaining all this weight. I had like lost 30 pounds and I gained it right back. And so it was just like, I'm tired of being negative. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to be in this body. If I lose weight, fine. If I gain weight, fine. Yeah. You know, as long as I could move. And I think that it just feels like everything's so negative. So it's like everything that's positive, whether it's you celebrating your body, whether it's somebody who was just like, oh, I was able to balance on one, on my foot for 5 seconds. I couldn't do that before. Who cares if it was just for 5 seconds? Like, celebrate that. I feel like everyone focuses on the negative, and when we have the mental energy, I think we need to focus on the positive just a little bit more and support those who are maybe in a negative space. I think that's just so important.
I completely agree. So speaking of positive, do you feel positive about the word fat? How do you use it, and how do you feel about it?
I feel like it's like a word I'm trying to take back in a way. Like we talked about earlier, there's such a negative connotation with like being fat. Like even today, I'm like binging YouTube videos because I have the time. There was this commentary channel about this girl who's like nuts about guns and how she was like, oh, I'm getting people to walk faster because, you know, obesity kills and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm just like, you know, we need to just take back this word, because again, it's just like there's a difference between unhealthy habits and healthy habits, and that encompasses like just a spectrum of body sizes.
Right.
There are people out there who are bigger than I am, could freaking outrun me, and because they've put that effort into having healthy habits.
Yeah.
The way they look doesn't say that they're like unhealthy. Right. You know? And I guess that in a way, I'm trying to take that back. Again, there are some days that are better than others where I'm just trying to use the word fat as much as I can in my regular everyday language to try and normalize it a little bit, at least amongst my friend group. I had, when my boyfriend listens to this, he's just going to be like, oh, Amanda. but I've been trying to get, he's been a little bit better whenever I say I'm fat. He doesn't really say, oh no, but you're beautiful, right, kind of thing. I'm like, I could be fat and beautiful. And I think he's realizing now that it's okay that I'm calling myself fat, because I do have fat. I am a fatter person, you know? And just saying that now, I'm a little bit better with it. And because I've made it a little bit more positive, it's just a descriptor. Like, you know, I have brown hair, I have brown eyes, I have a little bit of freckles, you know? It doesn't mean I am a freckle. I love that that post on Instagram. It's like, you have toes, you are not toes, you know? And so... Some days are better than others, but compared to the past, I think it's a lot better now. Again, it's just taking back a word that has such a negative connotation to it. And instead of focusing on size, focusing on health. Because if I have a patient that's like overweight, but she or he is eating green beans, you know, maybe having a little slice of cake here and there, but overall their diet is healthy and just happens to be bigger, then as long as they're, you know, moving and having a healthier diet, I don't care what size they are, you know, and especially with the stigma in the medical field, you know, everything is with your weight. Of course, there is just correlations. If you have osteoarthritis, if you lose a little bit of weight, it could help, but that shouldn't be like the primary goal. It shouldn't be like, oh, you have this because you're fat. It should be a more of a kind approach. Like, this could help, but also this could help. Again, it's just laying out everything, informed consent. And it's not shaming somebody.
Right.
It's just, I think it should be more of a matter of fact kind of thing, and not like an innate, oh, you're a failure in life because you're fat. You just have fat. I think it'd help if you just like, just lose a couple more pounds, but it's not because you are a failure. That's the thing. And even now, just that was a very crude way of like maybe approaching. I'm pretty sure I'll refine it when I'm a physician, but... Again, it's just like, it's not saying that you are a failure because you're fat, you know, just laying it out kind of thing. So again, I ramble a lot, but again, I guess the answer to your question is that I have a little bit of a better relationship with the word fat.
I enjoy the rambling. I'm following you on every little story you're telling, and I think it all ties into what we were talking about. Right, so it was perfect.
Awesome. I'm just very passionate about this topic, man. I just could talk for hours. That's when I was just like, 30 minutes? No, I got you for an hour.
Well, I'm finding that out to be true, because everyone who I've interviewed so far, it's definitely something, you know, it's so relatable and people aren't talking about it and you're thinking about it, but why can't we just like have an open conversation? And hopefully it will inspire other people to have that open dialogue within their own friends and family members and things like that. So, yeah, I totally get it. What are your fat yogi goals? Do you have any fat yogi goals coming up this year?
Oh, that's a very good question. I have a lot, but this time I will be on point. I will only mention one. I really just want to strengthen my arms to at least be able to get one foot off the ground when I'm doing crow.
Oh, okay.
I really love that pose so much. And again, my arms in general aren't the strongest. I also, when you had tagged me in that challenge to do push-ups. I was like, this is a perfect opportunity because I had injured my shoulder last year, actually. So it's been a journey because I used to be able to, I was able to hash out like 23 push-ups or something like that. And now I've deconditioned. So I was just like, okay, cool. I know in general, I have to work on my upper body strength, but I want to focus on the journey. I think that's another thing. Because I used to feel bad. My friend, her name's Caitlin, and she would host, she was gracious enough to host classes for us. And she used to be a gymnast. So she could like, throw herself into a whole bunch of poses. It's amazing. Hold a handstand for I don't know how long, but she would have us like do crow. And I was feeling kind of bad because it was like, I was the only person who really couldn't like get into that pose. But again, that like yoga has like been so positive that instead of me being shying away from crow, I'm like, you know what? I just want to try it. You know, I want to keep just trying it. Whereas like ever any other time in my life, I'll be like, no, I'm not good at it. So I'm not going to do it. The opposite with yoga. So I'm really excited to do that.
Have you ever tried crow with a block under your feet?
I have not because actually I could probably improvise. I do have more stable surfaces. Again, I always get fixated. I'm like, I don't have a block, so I can't do it. But actually, I think that's a valid point. So how could you explain? I would just like hold the pose with my hands and then just put my foot up on a block,
starting standing on the block.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Oh, okay.
So yeah, so stand on the block and then do your forward fold. And it almost like forces your body to balance. It was the only way I could get into the pose. I just didn't have enough core strength to lift my feet up. And it takes a ton of core. But if I just leaned into the pose, I found starting a little bit higher just gave you just enough of that lift to where your feet come off the ground without you even trying.
Oh, see, thank you for that, because I've been trying. I was just like, well, how do I even start? Do I just try it? Oh, that, thank you so much.
I need
much
to do
that.
A tutorial on YouTube on it, just because, especially for like a larger bodied person, those types of poses that are like arm balances can be a bit more challenging, and to like go into them in a different way can really be helpful. And then you don't feel like such like, oh, I can't do this. Everyone else is doing it. There's no way. You have this negative self-talk. So yeah, try it and then like tag me in your post when you try it.
Oh, that's going to be a fun post. I'm so excited. But again, thank you for what you're doing, because I feel like with yoga, again, being so positive, I'm like, why? It's just like, I don't think bigger people should be excluded from that and celebrating what they can do. So again, thank you so much for what you're doing. And thank you for having this podcast. Seriously. I'm not trying to butter you up, but I'm like really passionate about this. Like, thank you so much, because it's just like, I didn't know where to really start, and just seeing this community, I was just like, my people.
Seriously, I feel the same way. That hashtag fat yoga on Instagram, it's amazing. The people that are on there, and I appreciate that, like, it's genuinely larger bodied people that are doing it. And you know, you see, if you hashtag other types of yoga things on Instagram, you know, those people aren't always larger bodied. And then you're like, wait a second, you need to stop using this hashtag, because you're not that thing.
Honestly.
So, and not to say that their practice isn't beautiful, but maybe they aren't falling under the category that they should, because a larger bodied person might be looking for inspiration from another larger bodied yogi. So it's important to like, use them correctly. And yes, the community under that fat yoga hashtag is amazing. I am loving like the relationships that I'm creating just over Instagram. It's just so cool how we all are inspiring each other.
Oh yeah. I'm like very, even though there are, you know, there's negatives to everything, but I'm just like, again, if we focus on the positive, I'm like really grateful for everyone that I'm meeting through Instagram. And it's just like, it's just like, I'm not honestly at a loss for words. There's no word in the English language to convey exactly how excited and just I guess grateful. There we go. That's a good word. Just grateful I am for people who are just like, you know what? We're just going to live our life, because I just feel like, again, that's so important. Like, oh, this is so exciting.
Do you have any words of advice to people who have a bad relationship with being fat?
I think the first thing, and this is gonna be hard. I'm not. I really want to say to anyone listening, that you're just gonna have to start somewhere. That what do you have the energy to tackle right now? Because again, a lot of it is mental, if not, all of it. It's just to sit down and really find the root of what you're feeling. And whether that's journaling, looking at other posts or something like that, I find it helpful if I find people who think differently. That's why I don't really like journaling as much, because it's like I like having that feedback. And that's why my Instagram is always open. Just think about how you think. What are like the quote unquote triggers? Like if you're looking at thin people on Instagram, maybe that first step could be, how about you follow more fat people? Maybe just changing your surroundings could help. Or if you're ambitious, sit down and really think about, is there something in my childhood that happened? How could I explain this? And then if you're in college, to see if there's like counselors there for free. I know that they're free from my school and they've been amazing, absolutely amazing. But I think just sitting down and saying, where are these negative thoughts coming from? Are they actually mine? Are they from society? Do I really feel this way? And just, I guess, being more accountable and really sit with that feeling, because we shy away from being, from like feeling that pain, feeling that hurt, feeling like something's gonna make us cry. I know I hate crying, but if you could find time in the shower to have that self-reflective talk and just let it out, because if that's how you let it out, just appreciate that about yourself. And again, I also another thing, this is just a very heavy topic, so I'm gonna try to wrap it up with just forgive yourself as well. I think that's a big thing. I can't get into this post today. I'm gonna forgive myself, because you know what, it's about the journey. I want to eat this piece of cake. You know what, I have this guilt that I'm gonna turn into forgiveness and slowly just getting into a positive mindset. And I'm not saying that it's gonna happen tomorrow, because it's been what, this is March, right? I've been really trying to deal with these negative thoughts since I started, oh my goodness, I think therapy, like 2018. Think it's 2018. Yeah, I've been going to therapy since 2018, and even though I've made progress, there's still so much to go. So I think also just enjoying the process, seeing how you've changed, and just breathe. It's gonna be fine, and we're all here to support you, honestly and truly, from the bottom of my heart. Like, my Instagram is always open. Even if you don't want me to respond, just vent to me,
I love
honestly.
that. And you can find Amanda under Chubby Chin Ups. So go follow her if you aren't already. And then last words on the topic of being fat.
Oh, just enjoy. It doesn't define you. Again, it's just there's such an emphasis on it. But I think if you find the mental energy to just sit outside and just enjoy being in your body, I think that would really help. It doesn't define you. It really doesn't. You have so much more about you. And even though in the moment it's really hard to kind of separate that out, there's so much more to you. Think about all of your accomplishments, even it's one thing, just little baby steps that. Being fat doesn't mean you're a failure, doesn't mean you're less of a person. Just enjoy life the way it is. Of course, be healthy, move around. That just makes you feel good. And what Adrian always says, find what feels good. I think that's the important mantra in life, and if,
Yes.
just breathe
I love
as
it.
well. It doesn't define you. Yeah.
Anything you want to shout out or plug before we do the last five fun questions?
Oh, fun questions. Oh, obviously follow Tiffany
Oh.
Crow. Obviously. I also want to shout out to like all of my friends listening right now. I was like spam texting them, like, oh my God, this is so exciting. They were just so great. They're like, oh my God, Amanda, this is so great. And I don't know if my therapist is allowed to listen, but if not, then my therapist has been so wonderful. She was so excited about this podcast as well. And yoga with Adrienne as well. If you're starting out yoga, I think she has a lot of foundational Yoga videos are just great, and she's just a great person in general. If I could ever meet her in person, I would probably just fangirl. And you too. If I met you in person, I'd be like, oh my God. But yeah, I just want to just thank everybody who's been in my life, and this, again, especially you, just people who have been positive and just been like, you can do it, Amanda.
That's amazing. And then, of course, follow her on Instagram, Chubby Chin Ups. Like, plug
Yay.
yourself too, girl. Like,
Oh, that's true. That's true. Chubby chin ups. I love it because I'm just like, I just like the way it sounded too. I was like, you know what? If you can't do this, enjoy the process.
totally. I love that you have that fun twist on it too. Okay, so last part of the podcast, the five fun questions. So, first one, what is your favorite meal?
Oh, I right now it's cheesy like noodles, like microwave noodles.
Ooh.
It sounds awful, but seriously, just putting a little bit of cheese on top of it with some eggs and noodles and a little bit of vegetables, so good.
Okay. Favorite TV show?
I have watched The Office like four times, and I think
Okay.
I could go for a fifth time, honestly. I
All
love The
right. Yeah,
Office.
I love The Office too. What is your favorite book?
God. I would the first one that comes off the top of my head is Inkheart by Cornelia Funke. Like even before Harry Potter came out, and I love Harry Potter, but she was really the first author that really got me to fall in love with fantasy.
Okay.
And there's a whole trilogy.
I
Love for
love
Fears. Beautiful
it.
book.
What is your favorite Instagram account? And you can give a shout out here.
Oh man, my favorite Instagram account. Oh God. Well, aside from yours, I really like her name. Her Instagram name is Quadzilla.
Oh,
I really love it because she also plugs a store that's oh man, I keep forgetting the names, but it's just a lot about like just powerlifting, and you don't have to look quote unquote feminine to be
Yeah.
and be a powerlifter. She kills it. I love her.
Awesome. I will definitely check her out. And then what's your favorite way to spend a day off?
Oh, which I've been doing a lot. I like the just watching YouTube videos and seeing just everybody's like just perspectives, what they like commenting on, and just seeing people talk, and of course doing yoga, having that time, just lighting incense and making that space. And then I'm also doing a research project that I've been kind of neglecting, but I've been reading for that as well. And so hopefully, I just like reading in general, so I'm happy to get back to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Amanda, for being on this podcast and taking the time to share your story. I just really feel like so many people are going to hear this and totally relate to everything that you've been saying about everything.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, and thank you. Honestly, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, honestly.
You're very welcome. So, with that being said, make sure you follow Amanda and thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. You are an inspiration. You are a fat yogi and you should feel so proud of yourself right now. Our fat yogi guest is amazing and make sure you follow them. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Fat Yogi Show. And don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening. And the retreat, June 26th through the 28th. Check me out, namastetogetherfresno.com. You guys are amazing and you inspire me to be a better yogi, fat yogi. Thanks, guys. Bye.